Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. Today, I have Carla Medina with me, who is the owner of Sudor Taino, which is a gym that I went to a couple of years ago that my friend introduced me to. And I knew that I wanted to have Carla on to kind of talk about it. So let me just share a little bit about Carla first. She is a passionate Latina entrepreneur and renowned fitness guru who is highly respected for her no-nonsense innovative approach to business and life. She holds many local and national press and book publication and video production credits. Carla is a 20-year retired police sergeant, veteran of the Harvard Police Department, State of Connecticut training officer. She has her BS in business management, her master's degree in public policy, and along with other certifications and trainings. She is the owner and trainer and master trainer at Sudor Taino Group Fitness, a studio dedicated to enhancing people's individual journey towards health, fitness, and life. Her authentic style allows her to move people individually, motivate them collectively, and move them culturally. She is known for being a movement expert and an energetic motivational speaker of all ages, shapes, sizes, levels for crowds 5 to 1,000. She is also an energetic motivational speaker in the health, fitness, leadership, entrepreneur, and business realms. She is the heartfelt entrepreneur, author, and producer of the Divinely Fit Summit. Carla, you're like a celebrity.
Sounds so serious. Sounds very impressive when I don't even think it's me. I'm like, who's she talking about?
Right, like, who is that? I've never heard
She's
of
She's cool.
Right? I want to be her friend. Yeah. This is the first time I'm hearing about Divinely Fit Summit. What is that?
So Divinely Fit Summit, we had the first one last year, and it was a full-day summit where we had vendors, that empower people, empower mind, body, and spirit.
Nice.
And then we conducted workshops and lectures and demonstrations for people, and it was such a moving experience that we're doing it again this year. So it's March 2nd.
Okay.
And it's going to be at Rentschler's Field. So that's the first time we're going to go into like a bigger venue like
that. So it's like a wellness event.
Yes, it's a whole wellness event.
Oh my God,
and,
that's amazing.
You know, what makes it even more authentic is that we, like last year we had conga drummers there.
Wow.
And, you know, we had our authentic plena bomba dancer there.
Yes.
And
I love that.
Yes. So we did like a tribal circle at the end. I mean, there were so many different elements, and invite people to go look at the website. The video tells so much about the day in 30 seconds. But people had moments together.
Wow.
Individually, collectively, we were just feeling the whole day, mind, body, and spirit. Yeah.
I swear, the universe is so crazy because I'm going to a wellness event in the Bronx in 2 weeks that is just for Latinas. And it's something similar, mind, body, spirit. And the only reason I'm going is because I wanted to start a wellness event in Hartford. And only because, I didn't want to start it on my own. I wanted to collaborate with people, you know.
Because
I didn't know it, the wellness summit. I've never been to a wellness summit here in Hartford.
Okay.
So I wanted, or like a wellness event. And I was like, man, it would be really nice if there was something for like people of color where we could talk about our mind, body, spirit. And, you know, we could talk about how important therapy is and, you know, taking care of your body and what food you need to eat and have all these different sponsors.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if you're going into it in the Bronx, I got invited to go there as a speaker if it's the same one. But we'll collaborate.
We'll talk about that.
But the universe lines things up
That's
like
weird.
That.
Okay.
But this summit was really just, it derived from my book. The book is called Divinely Fit as well.
Okay.
And it's about a struggles of, you know, it's a telltale book of my struggles and promises and God's promises of how we
that's beautiful.
Kind of get through that. And that's why the summit had to come in order to reverse the order, how we always say mind, body, spirit. So
yes.
I put spirit, mind, body.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. So that's the difference of kind of like what my forethought is when I think of like my studio, when I think of my life, when I think of my service at the police department. It's always that service benefit. Like, how can I serve people individually and collectively and culturally, but with a different concept. Instead of it being their mind first, sometimes if we're left to our own mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
my place tricks,
we can
yes.
be very cruel to ourselves
yeah.
and sometimes
yes.
to others.
Mm-hmm.
So if we kind of minus it or push it to the back of the equation and just
mm-hmm.
put the spirit first, you know, I always feel like if you can depend on God's strength or your higher power, whatever, you know, you believe in. But if you depend on something outside yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you're more inclined to just be a better human.
Oh my God, Carla, I feel, I swear that here goes the stars. I'm getting like goosebumps because I literally, so like I told you, my birthday's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
happy birthday. I was going to say happy birthday.
I know. So I was, I'm going through some weird stuff in my career, and
yeah.
I have a meditation book that I read every morning
mm-hmm.
to kind of keep this mantra going all day and stay like at an elevated place.
Absolutely.
And I think the scripture for today has something to do about like being, having prosperity and
mm-hmm.
how your, like your mind has to change in order for like the rest of your life has to change and things like that. And about trusting your spirit, and I was looking at the book like, how do I trust my spirit? Because it's hard when you're in such a dark place.
Yes,
it is hard to turn your mind around, and I tell that to my clients, and
right.
I'm still don't believe it myself.
Right, but you have to get away from trying to convince yourself or divorce yourself from the story you keep telling yourself, which is not true.
Yeah,
you know, you have to just kind of start believing something else. Not necessarily
mm-hmm.
you're going to falsify everything
mm-hmm.
you know, in your past or everything
right.
that's broken. We are imperfectly perfected. And
yes.
that's part of our journey. And I always believe that our trials and tribulation make us who we are. And you have to go, you have to have that dark moment to see the light. I mean, you can't just see light all the time, you know.
That's true.
And sometimes you have to remember what darkness is
mm-hmm.
in order to appreciate, you know, the light.
Wow. How did I know that I was going to go to church today?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that my members sometimes say, this is like going to church, but you're sweating and stuff.
No. So that brings me back to why I went to your studio.
Right.
So I feel like I always find things at the worst times. Like I'm always going through something and then I find something and I'm like, this is perfect. So Marisol, at the time, she was helping me plan a walk for my dad because he had just passed away from ALS. And I was just like, man, like I'm really depressed and I want an outlet, and working out, you know, is great, you know, releasing endorphins, and I'm trying to get fit. As you can see, that's one of my goals on there. So she was like, oh, come, and she told me about her goals, and she shared her story with me. And I went, when I saw all these curvy Latinas, I wanted to cry. I was like, oh my God, I found my place. And then I saw you, and I was just like, oh, she looks so tough. And I'm like, I'm excited. She's going to, like, kick my ass.
You know, and the thing is, I'm, like, one of those people that I feed off people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if they need me to be tough, I'm going to be tough. If they need me to be soft, I can give them a hug and then
right.
I'll pat them on the back and say, all right, let's go.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of that yin and yang
mm-hmm.
that you need to find balance in your life, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way the studio is. The studio is it's a tribe, but it's a culture. Like
yes.
we plant the seed and
mm-hmm.
then it grows. And then when you come in, you know, you take it all in and then you do it for someone else.
Right.
And it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right. They're kind of paying it forward, all the members, right? Because
the
they're going and they're telling everyone about this wonderful experience.
Yes.
And
I don't even advertise. I don't. Like, this
mm-hmm.
is the way it happens. The story is. But that's what keeps the tribe in full effect. When I
right.
say that, I just mean that if you recognize in me
mm-hmm.
that I need Sudor Taino,
mm-hmm.
then that means you belong there.
Yeah.
So it's like that light that's, you know, flickering. And they're like, well, you know what? You know what? I know who can break that open. And I know what
right.
energy can get you going.
Absolutely.
And that's how they get to the door. So it's awesome.
And it's crazy because I've seen the Sudor Taino, where I've seen the Taino logo.
Yeah.
And then when I went to your studio and I saw the logo, like, right on the wall, I took a picture of it
the
first
sun?
Day. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And my people were, I didn't put anything about it being Sudor Taino. I was just like, today was a good day. And I posted the logo. And someone commented, like, oh my God, I love that place. Like, all these people were like, oh my God, I love it. Carla's amazing. I was
yeah.
like, yes. Oh.
It's, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, the
mm-hmm.
energy of it. Like, without even saying anything, you say so
right.
much.
Wow.
It's going to be that. All these nuggets today.
I know. You took a pen and paper. Look at me. I'm like writing away.
I know. I love giving nuggets and I love getting nuggets. That's why yes. I have my pencil and pen ready.
No, that's perfect. I want to know a little bit about why you started Sol Taino, which is probably like part of your journey and kind of where, how did you start and how did you get here and where do you see the future of the studio?
Oh, that's a lot of different ones. So you have to remind me what all that is.
Oh, how did you start?
Okay, so how did I start it? So I became a police officer and I was very thin, very, you know, I made it through. I mean, I did the physical exercises and things like that. But during that time, I worked midnights, and on midnights, there's really nothing open and available to eat that's good and healthy for you.
Oh, yeah.
So I was fitting into the cop of the cop myth, or really not a myth. I was eating donuts and coffee. That's what was available. And yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, in full disclosure and transparency, I love donuts. So
it's true. Dunkin' Donuts is open late too.
Yes. Yes. So in any case, you know, I began to gain weight and I gained over 80 pounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it was time. I had a near-death experience at work. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I thought, like, if I was lighter, would this have happened?
Okay.
And, you know, you play those mental tricks with yourself.
Yeah.
And you question, you know, would I have been better? Could I have, you know, done more? Could I have done less? Would I have gotten hurt? So right after that injury happened, I had surgery on my wrist. And then I ended up going to the, you know, to the gym, mm-hmm. and started to work out. And I started to develop this thing like, wait a minute. This is feeling good. Mm. It's getting me amped up, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna do this for other people. So right after that, I started teaching. I got certified. I started teaching.
What did you get certified in?
I got certified. My first certification, believe it or not, was in spinning, which I don't even teach now.
Oh my god, I love spinning.
But my second certification was in kickboxing, which is my life. That was the harder one for me to get, believe it or not, because yeah. I wanted it to be so perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm such a stickler for form that I was such a critic of myself that I just wouldn't. I was like, I'm not ready. I want to go and blow it out of the water. You know?
Right. So you loved working out so much, you decided I want to teach this to people?
Yeah, I want to give this amazing feeling.
Like, share it.
Like, just let it rip, let it rock, and
right.
have the whole place vibing because they need it, they want it. You know, right. it's going to make them feel better, and they're going to take it and use it as a template for life. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's fitness and life with passion.
Yeah.
You know, that's the, mm-hmm. you know, that's the tagline. But in essence, I ended up gaining weight, and I ended up getting the weight back because I ended up getting pregnant. I had a really rough pregnancy, so I gained the 80 pounds right back. So I had to do it all over again. So I've done it twice.
Okay.
And then I worked in so many different gyms all over the place. But again, it's working for someone else. You can do what they tell you. So they say, no, Carla, you have to teach a kickboxing class like this. No, Carla, you have to teach a weights class like this. No, you cannot switch the schedule every 2 months because your brain goes pie and you want to revamp the whole process.
Right.
So it was almost like keeping a butterfly in a jar. Like, I was like, okay, I need more. I want to create. I want to mesh things together.
Right.
I want people to get something new every time they come to my class. So then that's when I started thinking of opening my own place.
Okay.
So before that, I was thinking, well, what's going to be the name? You know, and I looked up all these different names, and, you know, I kept going back to sweat, and sweat was so important. And then I said, well, what if you say it in Spanish? And then, and I was like, well, that's sudor. It sounds so powerful.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Damn.
That's true.
And then I was thinking how I wanted to bring across that it was important to cultivate, you know, you're reaping and sowing a person just like you would a land. And then, you know, I think I was talking it over. He wasn't my husband at the time, but we were talking it over. He was my partner at the time. And he said, you know, you're so authentic, and, you know, you're Latina, and, you know, like the Tainas. And I'm like, whoa, what you said? You know, and he's like, Tainas. And I'm like, Taino, that Tainos cultivated Puerto Rico. They never really got credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them credit. And now we're talking about cultivating the land, and it translates into cultivating the people through sweat and tears, what they did and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it kind of all snowballed. And then about 3 years before I retired, you know, from the police department, I said to myself, you know what, it's time to kind of see if this is what it's going to be. How can I really give my full 100%? And that would have to be in our own space.
You're right.
And that's how it went. So in 2008, I put out the logo and started to do workshops under Sulor Taino.
Nice.
And then it wasn't until 2012 that we opened
The studio space. So yes. Where were you for all those years? Where were you
teaching? I was renting space in different places, doing workshops and classes in different spaces, and crowding their space. And I'm like, no, wait. We can't crowd their space and invade their space. We have our own space.
Between 2008 and 2012, what gave you the courage to open up your own space, and what motivated you?
Well, I kept saying to myself, is this what it's meant to be?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was lugging my equipment to different places, and it was always, you know, I had just put up a basic website, so it was always like, people were like, where are you at? What are you doing? And I'm thinking to myself, they can't find me because I'm always switching spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm lugging my stuff everywhere. I kind of felt disoriented sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, where am I supposed to be? You know, what place, what gym am I supposed to be teaching at? And it just got to the point that, you know, my husband was like, if other people can just take a shot, just take a chance. And we opened, and we had a cement floor. People used to get paint chips all over their body. We had like 6 sets of weights, like 4 bars, 10 mats.
Yeah.
And we just rocked it, you know, and we've expanded twice, and we have more equipment now, more instructors. And all of our instructors, by the way, used to be members.
Get out.
Cultivated from within. It's my thing. I love doing that.
But right now where you guys are located, is that the permanent location?
Yes, because what we did is we expanded. We expanded right in there. So we took over, like we started in one space, we knocked down a wall,
mm-hmm.
expanded once, and then expanded twice. So we're kind of at capacity right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you invest in your business? Did you spend your own money? Did you get a loan or a grant? How did that happen for you?
That was kind of like a retirement gift. You know, I had...
Oh, nice! Oh, because you retired around the same time you opened the studio?
Yes, I was actively, like, already starting to retire. And, you know, I had money invested in stocks and bonds. And you could either take some out, roll it out, and, you know, do whatever you have to do. So
mm-hmm.
I started to... You know, and I had saved some money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all, you know... me and my husband's money at the time. And, you know, but it started very small. So, like, it was like I trademarked the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was stayed stagnant for, like, a while. And then
right.
I put up the website.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, that stayed stagnant for a while. I mean, I did my class attendance on an Excel spreadsheet. Like,
okay.
You know, it was, like, so, like, very lax. And, you know, sometimes the space that I was renting, I didn't even cover that with what I would charge people. I was charging $2 a class.
Wow.
And people would pay with change and be like, oh, is this okay? I'm like, oh, never mind. And they're like, I got a divorce. And, you know, so when it comes to the money situation, I was like very sketchy. So my sister, who's like, I call her my sergeant, she's like, we need to pay the rent. So like, you need to step back and let me, because I would do it for free, you know, because I just, I'm so passionate about what I do and I love helping people. So I needed that, like, that
and that was your only like source of income because you weren't working, right? Because you were retired or you were getting...
Well, I still wasn't retired yet.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was, and you
was
know,
it your
now,
side hustle?
Right, and now I receive a pension. So it's not my only source of income yet.
Okay, and the only reason I ask that is because I always wonder, my friends who want to start small businesses, you're like, how do I start?
Right.
I don't have any money and I don't know where to go and I don't have any guidance. So did you feel like you had guidance? Like, did anyone kind of pave the way for you?
But yes and no, because... You know, I always say there was people that were mentors in different areas. So, like,
mm-hmm.
I had someone that, like, I love the way their style and exercise. So, like,
mm-hmm.
I attached that person, and whether they knew they were mentoring me or not,
mm-hmm.
I watched everything that they did. I followed them. Or, like, I got their emails, their motivational tactics.
Right.
You know, I listened to TD Jakes, Joyce Meyer, you know, all these different
mm-hmm.
people.
Okay.
And I had, like, a business person that I listened to, or, you know, someone that I've known that started a business. So it's always like you should have these different mentors, not necessarily necessarily someone that you're like on the phone with all the time, but accountability partners,
right,
that are checking on you, maybe advisors.
Yes.
And then I always feel like I'm chasing the person I want to be in 5 years. So that's kind of like my motivation, is to continue to do that. But for people who are just starting their businesses, I would say start easy. I think because I had to learn that patience with myself, you know, like, you got the logo. That was $750 you did not have, girlfriend. And beauty, and it took like 6 months to get it trademarked. And, you know, they were going back and forth. And then you had to pay the person that actually was helping you with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everything costs something. You know, to get print a t-shirt costs money.
Hello.
And then you're carrying them with you. And you may sell one. You may sell two, and or you may not sell any, and you're sitting with this merchandise that you've invested $500 in that you really didn't have. So I always talk to people with spend smart, like, do what you need first. And I know that, especially being a Latina, I want everything at once. Okay, I want everything here. I want like 10 sets of weights. This is that.
You want everything now.
It didn't happen that way. It didn't happen like that, you know. And, you know, it was literally chunk by chunk. The first 2 years, I barely made the rent, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was taking from my check, my pension, my weekly check before I left to make the ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I was saying, okay, no more spending. Like, I don't care. It's not going to happen. I'm not spending. We need a nest egg so that we can make the rent and be comfortable and stop feeling so choked. And that's the reality that no one shares. Like, you know, they're afraid to say, like, oh, I wasn't making the rent my first 2 years. They say, you know, when you hit the 5-year mark, that's when you're like, you're in business, you know, because you've learned all these things that don't work, that do work for you. And I'm very cognizant of that. And, you know, my experience in the police department, you know, learning how to communicate with your employees and keeping them tight-knit, you know, a tight-knit group.
Yeah.
And a lot of the structural and operational things, I investigated things in the gang task force, and we conducted operations based on investigation. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I kind of made my purchases the same way. Like, you investigate what it is, see what the best deal is, and then say, okay, when I get to this point, I'm going to invest in this.
Wow.
Yeah?
No, that's, it made me think of the a small business. I went to the YWCA's Money Conference for Women this past Saturday.
Oh.
And I took a workshop on small businesses, and it was something you said resonated with me when the woman said, your business is successful probably after 5 years. That's when you really have a business. Like, you don't, the first couple of years, you don't really make any money.
No, and you don't feel like it. And then, you know, then the thing is, but you know, what I have learned over the years is that my time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people want you to do a lot of things for free. And you really have to kind of start, you know, thinking about, is this worth it to me and my time and the business? You can't do everything for free, even though I did. So I did.
You know, I did.
I did do everything for free, like, for the first 2 years. And then, like I said, my sister was like, I mean, you're preparing for this. You're doing a speech for this. You're doing... So it's like so many things that are going into it, because I am the way I am. I'm not just going to go over there and just not be prepared. So it's a lot of, like, thinking that your partnerships and your mentorships or your relationships and all these things is building such solid foundations with people, being a good person for them, and like one hand washes the other, and learning how to be, like, I call it the chameleon perspective, is that you have to learn how to, one day you have to pick up the trash from your place, so one day you have to fill in for an instructor. One day, I learned that as a police officer, you have to wear a bunch of different hats.
Right, right.
So to me, it builds respect with the people that are watching you. They say, oh, she's not above
anybody else
sweeping the floor.
Right.
She's not above this. Because you have to, they have to feel that camaraderie with you. I'm really big on that.
Yeah.
And that comes first. And then the secondary thing is, we're in the struggle together, which is kind of like what the workout symbolizes. We're in the struggle because it's hard. No matter what, it's hard, because there's some days you don't want to do it. There's some days your mind just playing tricks on you, and you're really just in this mental and spiritual poverty that...
I know. With knowing how difficult it is for people to, like, achieve their fitness goals, and, you know, how to... How did you think, okay, well, my business is going to be successful? What did you want to, like, set yourself apart from everybody else? What made you think, like, I might be successful doing this? Or was success not even on your mind? Because I read something the other day about don't let what somebody else is doing deter you. So sometimes I get conflicted because I'm like, there's a bunch of podcasts. What am I doing?
Right.
I only have like 200 listeners. I'm not sure. That's a random number, but I don't know how many listeners I have. I'm not being invited to speaking events. I'm just not where I want to be.
Right.
And I keep telling myself it takes time, but I compare myself to what everybody else is doing. So did you have those moments where you're thinking, well, there's a billion of these. There's a whole bunch of fitness studios in this plaza.
In the same plaza. Not only that, you start going out like half mile and a mile.
There's
like where
so
it's
many
saturated.
Those hit like boot camp style
everything
studios.
Everything. So I believe that the reason that we stand out is because of the spirit, mind, body concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's very family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we are a tribe. Before the word tribe got out there, like in the fitness realm, they started calling themselves tribe. We were always a tribe because we were the Taino tribe.
Yes.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
to me, that always had the underlying thing. And about myself, you know, I have a chapter in my book, I've gone into fitness certifications where I was the only Latina. I was the only one that was a size 6.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that had a bandana on my head and ripped clothes, and everybody else was like geared from head to toe like all matchy stuff. And,
so
I was completely not what anybody expected or what anybody think.
You were unique.
Yes, unique. But at that time, I was thinking, I'm like, I completely stand out.
Yeah.
Which in
it's
the
true.
Police department was kind of the same thing. You were a female plus you were Latina. You completely stand out. I've always operated under that fight or flight. And to me, it was like there was no question. I'm fighting and I said this at a panel that I was on yesterday. I'm going to set this on fire. Like that's
mm-hmm.
always the goal
is
to be my best. Be my best and be 1% better. Every time I hit the floor, every time I do something, every time I speak, or every time I have an encounter,
mm-hmm.
is to give it my 100 and make that connection with people. Because you don't know, are you going to connect again?
Absolutely.
Or you don't know when it comes back. You know, I've gotten called to speak in engagements and they're like, remember we connected at this thing? You were such a, you were so awesome and you connected with me. And I'm like thinking to myself, if I had blown off that experience, where would I be? You know, people walk around with that.
You never know who you're going to be.
Snarl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You walk around with that snarl, you might as well keep that snarl because it's not going to benefit you in any way.
People can sense your energy from afar.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, I have God given gifts that I am just a vessel and I must perform. I
mm-hmm.
must do this. It's not about how I feel today. It's not about that I don't want to. It's not about that I got problems at home. It's not about any of that. At the end of the day, I check it at the door and I give my gifts.
Mm. No, that's amazing because I'm always thinking about how is it that I can stay consistent with all of my goals? And one of the things that I keep reading, probably the universe is sending me signs, is that when you do say you go somewhere, you do something when you don't want to do it, that's consistency. That's hard work. When you just do the work, even though you don't want to. And I haven't got to that point yet. Like, I'm not going to lie, I almost canceled today because I wasn't feeling good. And I was just like, no. Like, the only thing that motivated me was that I didn't know you.
Right.
And I didn't want to.
But I think it's more than that. And that's just
not the only thing, but like...
Right, but
I
believe that
down
deep inside, we know what we want and we fight ourselves.
Right.
And the thing is, you knew that me coming here, sitting here talking to you, I'm going to motivate you.
Yeah.
And sometimes we fear that
mm-hmm.
because we're comfortable in this box that we created for ourselves.
Right.
And we want to leave our comfort zone, but it's like one toe. It's not like the full foot, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that... You know, even me, like this week, I just started my week. I landed, you know, from Jamaica's
mm-hmm.
a teaching assignment on Sunday. Monday, I had 3 engagements. I taught 2 classes. I had a private client. Today, same thing. And I thought to myself too, like, oh, you know, we cancel, you know, you can reschedule. And I think to myself, no, she's depending on you. Her listeners are depending on you. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel right now. Who cares? You're tired. Mm-hmm. Suck it up. Let's go, sister. And that's it. You know?
Right. But I'm so torn all the time when it comes to, because I preach a lot about self-care and listening to your body. So I'm like, do I listen to my body and lay in bed because I'm depressed? Or do I try to beat my mind and do the thing I don't want to do and then possibly feel better afterwards? So it's like a tug and pull for me on a daily basis. But at the end of the day, I'm always happy that I've done this. Yes. Because I have to, like, this episode, we record it, I edit it, and I produce it. I'm a one-woman show. So I don't have anyone to hold me accountable. My friends, if I don't post the episode, they don't tell me, like, girl, why didn't you post anything? I have, like, one best friend that she'll give me feedback.
Right.
But I don't have anyone that's on top of me. So I have to be super disciplined. And I don't have any.
I'm writing down accountability partner.
Yes, I do. And I used to have someone that was my accountability partner, but she was too busy to help me with the podcast. So the season has been really hard because it's been hard because I've been challenging myself to be more intentional about the guests that I have, to be more diverse, to be open and talk to different people, to approach people who are strangers, to think outside the box.
Yes.
And you know, when you're outside of your comfort zone, that's when it hurts the most.
Yes, absolutely. It's that one toe effect, you know?
Yes.
You know, but I think you've come to a conclusion where it's your service. You know, you are serving people, whether it's 1, 10, 15, 20, 200, 2,000 listeners.
Right.
It's the same for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a dream that I had probably like, I don't know, maybe like 3 years ago now, it said, you know, I woke up just like, oh, exasperated. And I'm like, the word that came to my head was worldwide. And then I have this teaching assignment in Jamaica.
Wow.
And I end up like recording things that are going streaming around the world, you know? And the thing is that just in 2013, it's very vivid in my mind because it was like a hit that I took.
Mm-hmm.
2013, I went to this conference and they had a competition called So You Think You Can Present. So basically you train the trainers, but you're going for this one spot, you know, and there was like 50 people trying out, instructors that teach all these different genres.
Right.
So me and two of the instructors that I work with, you know, we did our thing and we won. So we won the competition. It was amazing. It was an amazing feeling because I had tried out for years. I'd sent videos and they said, no, we're not interested. We're not good.
Wow.
But I know that it was because I was not in the right place with God and I wasn't doing it for the right reasons. I was just like, I just want to be on that stage. I just want to be on that stage because I know I'm good. I'm good. This is what's going on in your head. I know I'm good. I'm going to these conferences. Mm-hmm. I know I can do this. So I was just focused on that. I knew I could do it because I was good enough.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for service. Like, so in 2013, I said, God, let it be whatever it is. But I know that I have something different that can touch lives and make these trainers see that their job is life transforming for people and that they should take that spiritual component and just add it in, even if it's one word, one motivational thing, or, you know, to think outside of themselves. So we won and it was just great.
That's
and
amazing.
We were supposed to present the next year at the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So 2014 came and went and that didn't happen. So I contacted them, came and went, didn't happen, came and went, didn't happen. So then I got a call saying, oh, you know, in 2008, you're in March 2018, you're in. And I'm like, okay. So in October of 2017, so mind you, I'm already planning March, born in New York, we're going to get in, blah, 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 whatever. And they call me and they say the actual fitness convention dissolved. So you will no longer be presenting.
Mm.
So here I was focused on this stage.
Right.
Since that time, I've been on 7 stages.
Wow.
None of which I thought of. And one of them being Divinely Fit, which is my own self-produced conference.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
So Meanwhile, where our focus can be, what is your purpose, or instead of, and you'll miss your daily purpose.
Right.
You know, we're focused on this thing we think is our like main goal. And
yeah.
then sometimes it just goes off to the left, goes off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be all right with that. Like at first, you know, when they called me, I'm like, oh my, I cannot believe.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I've been waiting years to get on this stage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Hartford Marathon puts us on a stage as one of the top three trainers in Connecticut.
Wow.
The Hartford Marathon circuit downtown. I have Divinely Fit. I was on stage as a panelist streaming. I mean, it's mind-boggling when
yeah.
you think about it. But if you think that you just keep thinking in these secular ways that this is the goal and this is the only goal, then you might miss a bunch that are being thrown at you.
Do you feel like you manifested any of those things, or you think those were just, you know, blessings that came and
definitely
you didn't expect?
Blessings, because I'm in a different place than I was then.
Okay.
And I believe that it showed me sometimes the importance of being of doing one thing
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily more important than doing other things. Like
yeah.
this is just as important to me as being on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reaches so many different people. So many different people need it that my focus is worldwide now. It's
yeah.
not so secular that I can't see past this person over here needs it or this state over here needs it. I mean, our nutrition program is online and we have people in there from India, Australia.
Really?
You know, yeah. So, I mean, they were clients from here. They ended up moving, you know, LA, Florida, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So my vision just like went poof. It just like, it was mind blowing that I had such a narrow perspective of what my reach could be. And I think all of us get caught up in that.
We do.
Yeah.
But for you as a Latina, when you, like you said before, you enter these spaces, you're the... You're maybe the only brown person in the room.
Super brown right now. Super brown.
Super brown right now from Jamaica. The only brown person in the room, maybe the curviest, maybe the heaviest, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the one who looks more rugged and
right.
like, you know, not put together. So how would you, when you walked into those spaces, because you know Latinas are competitive, were you like, I'm going to crush this? Or did you
Most
shrink?
Of the time in those, I think... I believe it would be unrealistic to say I never shrank.
You never okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it would be unrealistic to say that I never had a shrinking moment.
Okay.
I can recall several shrinking moments.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is most of those times I was shrinking because I was different. I think once I embraced that being different was why they were looking at me like that.
Yeah.
And that... I stood out because I wasn't like that.
People fear different.
Yes, it made me feel complete. My blinders were taking off, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, people want a tan. I'm brown. Like, you know, I got this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, people are always like, I love your hair, but they will not cut it short. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I was like, I had long hair down to my... They were like, you did?
I
like,
saw your before picture of how
yes.
you look, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things that, you know, people may say they like, but they don't embrace at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a learning curve. And, you know, I have people... that are in my circles that are of all shapes, all sizes, all levels, and I love them all just the same because they all teach me something every single day, you know, and I feel like I do that for them too because I'm different. And now that I embrace that,
mm-hmm.
I teach them to embrace themselves because
mm-hmm.
no matter which way you think about it, none of us share the same exact DNA. So
no.
we are different and imperfectly perfected. Like, we are the way we are supposed to be. We are supposed to go through that because that's the way it's supposed to be. Each trial and tribulation leaves an imprint in who we are.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't make who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to decide which way we're actually going to take that particular situation.
Absolutely. But I think people get so caught up in the situation that they can't see past
yes.
it. What
yes.
are you... Because I know that there's a lot of my friends who are curvy and... they're struggling with losing weight, or maybe their moms. They make all types of excuse, right, to not go to the gym.
Absolutely.
And I get it, because I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm too tired and I work too much.
So you know what? It's the most bananas concept, but this is like what I found.
Right. Please give us the gems, Carla. Tell us. Drag our edges.
It's that because, and this is not particular to Latinas, I think in general, women, if they can dress it up and take it out, meaning if they can put on makeup, do their hair, and they can rock their style, there's no urgency in them losing weight.
Mm, okay.
So I'm not saying they don't want to, because I think they did a poll several years back, and they asked if a person wanted to permanently lose the 10 to 15 pounds, a woman wanted to lose 10 to 15 pounds permanently, mm-hmm. that they always wanted to lose, or take $1 million, most of them said pounds. So that goes to show you
wow.
how ingrained we are in what we have to do, but we don't want to do it. So the thing is, I feel like everybody goes in cycles. Like, you have to be the one that have that number on the scale that goes, oh, hell no. You know,
I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has to be like your favorite, most comfortable pair of pants that you wear and make you feel good do not absolutely fit. And you go, that's my marker. Like, I can't do
right,
it anymore.
Right.
I can't look cute anymore. I
can't
hide
it anymore.
You can't
fit your fat jeans.
I can't, yes, you
right.
can. But they're usually cute fat jeans. And
right,
I hate
right,
using
right.
the word
fat. Yeah.
Because, you know, I've trained people that are over 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have one of our miracle stories. She's down under 300 right now. And
wow.
she was 536. And you have to really put things in perspective as to what is fat. That you are 10, 15, even 50, or even 75 pounds. Is that really fat? I mean, have you ever sat there? And I know I have watched my 600-pound life. And I'm like, God, please bring me one of these people because I would love to train them. That's how I know that I'm at the top of my game and I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And God did. And it's not really about me that I'm at the top of my game. She's at the top of her game. You know what it takes to have...
Yeah.
300 extra pounds on you and lift your leg like that. Just total freaking respect, admiration, just massive love for
mm-hmm.
her process. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, this is not about how good you are as a trainer. It's about her heart, her passion, her drive. She's a freaking warrior, you know? And that's what it's all about. Like, woman or man, because we have our men that come in the studio because sometimes their wives come
mm-hmm.
back humming and, you know, losing weight, and they're like,
what did you do?
Wait, what's going on over there?
Right.
So, I mean, we have about a good 10 or 15 couples that go there, and
wow.
sometimes they go there at different times. They don't, you know, like they're not working out together at
mm-hmm.
all. And then some of them do, and some people meet there. Which is actually really cool because that shows you that the core of the place is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Well, I noticed that it's not just a fitness studio. I saw someone getting a massage one time, or did I imagine that?
Well, no. Massage, or we do guided stretching. So guided
oh,
stretching
okay.
is different. We have a physical therapist that is also on board. We do the nutrition aspect.
Yep.
I also do workshops outside. We do corporate workshops, employee workshops, and things like that. And, you know, we do the motivational speaking and that kind of stuff. And we do stuff in the schools sometimes. So it really is multifaceted.
Yeah.
You know, and it just keeps it real for me. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're needed in all these things. Sometimes my husband's like, another project? And I'm like,
right.
yes, it's only 5 weeks.
Right.
You know? So I'm really passionate about new projects and about new ways to reach people.
What is your favorite project that you've done so far? Maybe it's one that's currently going or one that passed.
So my favorite project was called the Fit Body Project. And
oh.
that was a project that we did with 11 members of the studio who had all been in the weight loss program, but they wanted to re-enter for 1 week. They had to eat clean, attend private sessions and classes. And it was free. I did it for free.
Mm.
And it was online and in person motivational
nice.
Coaching. I did it for free, and they each had to raise $1,000 for Puerto Rico.
That's beautiful.
So we ended up raising $30,000.
Wow.
And we partnered with Puerto Rico Strong, which.
This is after the hurricane?
Yes, after the hurricane. Mm-hmm. And then the money was donated to Puerto Rico Strong. And me and my husband actually funded our own trip and went to Puerto Rico to see the actual funds being put on the ground. So, like, it wasn't like, oh, we donated the funds and that was it. We actually went there, helped secure tarps, beds, and, you know, help.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was an amazing project. And, you know, you receive all these awards and things like that, but, you know, they are the ones who did most of the work. And I trained them for free, and, you know, woohoo. It wasn't about that. It was about that they received a gift and then they paid it forward. And then we ended up seeing it to fruition.
And that's amazing, because a lot of people who donated didn't get a chance to really go down to Puerto Rico and see their kind of, I don't know, their donation make a difference to people.
Right.
So
it was a blessing. It was just an amazing experience, and yes, a complete blessing. And, you know, there was some people that were instrumental in making it happen, and they just worked so hard, and it was just truly a blessing, yeah.
That's amazing. With everything that's going on, I know that you talked a little bit about your, you know, your spiritual life and church and things like that. Mm-hmm. Anything other than that keeps you motivated? Books, podcasts, speakers? What are some things that you, maybe that's something you do every day that you include in your routine?
Well, so the funny thing is that I have a, I do like a Bible plan.
Oh,
so
nice.
Basically I get a devotional and it has like verses, and I
nice.
Try to do that every morning. You know, when I was away on vacation, I made sure I did it every morning, because that was like how I was starting my morning before I was teaching out there. I feel that some days we wake up and we need different things. So
mm-hmm.
some days you might need T.D. Jakes, like, bringing it, you know, bringing the house
right,
down.
Right, right.
Speaking to your spiritual loins, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But some days you might need, you know, Todd Durkin, who's one of my fitness motivators and, like, mentor from afar. Some days I need him to tell me, get up, girl, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that project done. And then some days I need to just lay on the floor and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about being so in tune with your body that you allow yourself to want and need different things and say, okay, I'm going to do this today. You know what? I don't feel like listening to that today. Why don't I put on some soft music and just lay on the floor and breathe? You know, and kind of be all right with changing it. Like, no, I gotta do this.
Yes.
And I understand that people, so the 7-day, like, I only do 7-day devotional plans. And I'm like, if I can stick to it, the 7 days is awesome.
Right.
But then one day, so like today, I'm on my like third one, I think. And so like today, I didn't get to do it all day. So I said to myself, as soon as I'm done here, before I make it to my next thing, I'm gonna sit in my car and I'm gonna do it. But that's because I'm making time for my commitment.
Right.
But if I need something else, I need to switch it up for a minute, or I can take the time to call a friend that I feel like God put in my heart.
Right.
And I can say, hey, you know, I was just thinking about you, whatever. That person might need me more than I need to write or than
right.
I need to read. So I kind of like do different things. Some of the rituals that I have are that, like some type of podcast, some type of reading, some
mm-hmm.
type of writing, because my brain will like literally frazzle up if I don't do that. Like, I need to get the information out. I mean,
right.
I have a series of probably like 4 or 5 different journals going at the same time.
Right.
Because
right.
one is for this, one is for that, one is for this, one is to document my journey, one is for just prayer, one is for, you know, so it's okay to be that way. It's
yeah.
okay. You don't have to like just be like doing this one thing, because it may not work for you today.
Right. I'm telling you, you're taking me to church today.
I love that.
I'm so rigid. You surprisingly, like, I'm very rigid. I struggle really badly with OCD. So I have to do the same things every day, like
right.
certain things. And so I have to have a morning or night routine, or if not, my anxiety is through the roof. And recently I've been trying to give myself grace, because I know my therapist mind is telling me, like, your anxiety is in your head and you can break out of your anxiety by exposing your, like, just doing something different,
right?
Right. So I know if you're, say you're scared of spiders, exposure therapy would say,
right,
see a spider. So for me, I'm like, oh my God, like, I try to stop myself from doing something that I want to do. That's a part of my ritual, because I'm like trying to give myself grace. So
it's right, but I... Yeah, and giving yourself grace is an amazing tool.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like where you have to go is more like, is this working for me?
Right.
Like, why are you going to stop making your coffee first thing in the morning if it's working for you? Like,
right,
if it makes you feel absolutely delicious and you drink
true.
That coffee, you're so happy. And it's like, oh,
right.
Like first, you know, why are you going to stop doing it?
Right.
So to me, it's more about saying today, I want to make my bed as soon as I get up.
Okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
I might feel different. I want to brush my teeth and I just want to lay on the floor. The next day is I'm getting up. I'm ready to go. I'm going to go for a run. Like, this is, it's okay. And
yes.
Some people are locked into the thing, the doing the thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it does nothing for them. So
right.
Why are you doing the thing if it does nothing for you? But if it's doing
right.
something for you, then shoot, by all means, continue on. You know,
the other piece of it is that there is, yes, I agree with that completely. But then I obsess about the fact that I did something and I can't do it again. Like 3 weeks ago, I went for a run in the morning. I remember the last time I went for a run, but randomly I looked outside and this little neighborhood is so pretty.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, it's 60 degrees outside and it's light out. I'm never home when it's light out. I'm going to go for a run.
Yes.
And I was dripping in sweat and I felt so good. I haven't gone to a run since. And it,
right,
so,
because
yeah.
honestly, you know, we make excuses or or the other thing is, you know, it hasn't touched you the way
yeah.
it touched you that day.
It didn't.
And you have to, you know, if you look outside and it's dark and you're like, yeah, no, I'm not going out there. You know, you have to give yourself the grace then.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to say, well, you know, it's not that I don't feel like doing it. It doesn't make sense to do it.
Yeah, because then ever since then, I look outside and I'm like, it's dark. I don't want to run in the dark. I'm scared.
Right. Well, as you should be. You know?
Yeah.
That's the top side of you talking. But yeah.
Right, right. So, yes, I'm trying to practice grace. Actually, before it's so funny. Before you came in, I was like trying to get myself like an alignment for the interview, make
right.
sure my head was in a good space to like be present for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, upon my to-do list, find a therapist because it's about that time. And I always advocate for people to go to therapy, but I went briefly when my dad passed away and I thought, oh, I'm going there for a specific reason to grieve. Then like my insurance changed and I haven't gone since because I'm not in crisis.
Right.
Right? But then I keep having these like mini
episodes.
Yes.
I call.
And then I'm just like, and I keep thinking in my head, because I know the therapist is going to ask me, why are you coming to therapy? And I feel like I just need like regular maintenance. I need her to be, or him, to be my accountability person to make
right.
sure that, I don't know if that's appropriate, but I'm just
going
to. I mean,
gonna... you know, it's again what you believe that you need, and you may
mm-hmm.
go and you may find you don't need it.
Right.
What I always say to people is, you know, don't focus on, you know, that you need a crisis. Or getting from one crisis to another. Don't focus on that. What my
yeah.
focus is always is, what is my recovery time for the crisis? Like,
yeah.
So if you're depressed, sometimes people will be depressed for 3 months. But if you were depressed last month and it was only 2 days, you've achieved to shorten that recovery time. And that's a whole, it's like mind-boggling that what you
mm-hmm.
can do. And if you just focus on the recovery time. So
yeah.
to me, you're always going to have a crisis. There's always going to be something to set you off. It's,
yeah.
it's about how you handle it. And
right.
yes, grace comes in the picture, but not when you're flying off the handle. So now, you know what I mean? I can fly off the handle, but it's funny because I catch myself and I go, okay, Carla, that's enough. Get it together.
Right.
Like,
you're,
seriously.
You're being dramatic.
You're being so... My daughter calls it OD. You're overdramatic. So she's
yes.
like, oh, Mom, you're so OD right now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where my focus changes. Instead of being in the crisis, my brain is already saying, all right, you can do this and do this, but I'm not going to let you do this for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's focusing on the recovery time, which is the same in a workout. So which is why I feel like we ingrain these templates without them even knowing. And they're using them outside. And I've heard people say, like, I used to get depressed for 6 months. And now, you know, oh, the best thing I heard the other day was, you know, when it starts to get dark, I get depressed. And I said, oh, so you schedule your depression?
I love that.
I was like, I've never heard such a thing. Like, you
that's
actually
so
schedule
funny.
Your depression? What? Yeah, so to me, it's like, just like you schedule your depression, you just schedule your recovery, you know what I mean? It's only going to take me...
Right.
2 minutes to, you know, to do that. So
No, but I that's exactly what I've been thinking about today is how I'm going to schedule my recovery, because I got some bad news and now I'm in like this weird funk, and I hate being on a funk on my birthday because I'm trying to practice gratitude and set intentions for a new chapter in my life.
Right.
And I'm like, nah, girl, we're going to do some self-care tonight.
Right.
We're going to get in alignment, and whatever happens, you just need to be okay. And
so you need to listen to my video. I posted it on Instagram. It's called Get the Funk Out.
Oh, yes!
So you said funk, and it reminded me that it's on Instagram and it's on YouTube, Get the Funk Out, because it was like such a funky situation. Everybody kept on saying, oh, I was in a funk, I'm in a funk, and I'm thinking to myself, these funks are gonna get me in a funk, so I need to get the funk out.
This is on Instagram?
Yeah. So it's on, I believe it's on YouTube too, it's on Instagram. So yeah, follow me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, whatever. I usually try to post like motivational things just to get.
What's your handle for people to follow you?
Sudor Taino is Sudor Taino by Carla Medina on Instagram. And on Facebook, it's Sudor Taino page. And Carla Medina. I think I exceeded my friend limit on Facebook, so I can't friend anybody anymore.
So you're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube?
Yes, YouTube channel. I have a Sudor Taino Fitness page.
Do you have workouts on there?
Yes, I do.
Ooh!
That's what
I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. So if I can motivate you to do one of those a week, girl,
we'll
work.
Right, I'll text you. Like, look,
yes.
I'm sweating, Carla.
It's funny because I ask people to post pictures. I'm like, I don't believe you. Show me the forehead.
Right.
See if it has.
Oh, yeah, my forehead is like a mirror when I sweat.
Yes.
So, can you tell us where to find the Salud Taino studio and website and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. So the website is just like it's spelled Salud Taino. So it's www.sudortaino.com
mm-hmm.
and the YouTube channel is just like that, so it's Sudor Taino Group Fitness, and we're located at 635 New Park Avenue in West Hartford, Connecticut. Phone number is 860-952-9015, and I answer all of my emails, so if you want to email me, it's sudortaino@live.com, and I'll be more than happy to get back to you. Even if I can't help you, I can find some. I have a lot of friends in the business, and I can recommend you. I can, you know, listen to you, and we can always go from there.
Awesome. Do you have any deals or anything going on right now for members?
Sure. Actually, in November, through like Black Friday and that stuff, there's all kinds of deals for guided stretches, for membership rates. I'm honoring a free week all the way through December 31st. Mm-hmm. And again, my thing is, if you do nothing else, please join us at Divinely Fit Summit at Rentschler's Field on March 2nd, 2019. It is going to be off the chain as it was last year. And we have so many vendors that I believe are true resources for people.
I'm really excited.
So I want to invite you to be a vendor there, girlfriend.
Ooh,
so we can get people listening to your podcast.
Yes, I can do a live show or something.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's off the chain.
Okay. Ooh, that's all exciting. Right. One last thing, your book, because you mentioned it. I didn't know you had a book.
Yes, so Divinely Fit is also on my site, and it's also on Amazon.com. It's called Divinely Fit, and it's basically the story of my struggles and promises. So, not my promises, but God's promises and how I got through many struggles. So each chapter has like an underlying theme to it, and it also has action items to get through.
That's perfect. I know the perfect person that's going to get that as a gift when her birthday comes up.
I wish I would have known it was your birthday.
It's okay. Thank you so much, Carla. I really appreciate this.
Okay, no problem.
I was really, really excited to
have
you on.
I'm super excited too. Like I'm like really excited now. Like I feel like I could go work out right now.
And hopefully I'll have you back again, and I'll like have all your handles in the show notes, and I'll make sure to share the Wellness Summit stuff on my social media as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, you can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.